Artemis II is part of NASA's Artemis program, aiming to establish a sustainable human presence on the moon. I'm joined now by one of our regular contributors, David Moore, who is editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. Good evening to you, David. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
This has been garnering quite an amount of publicity. Why is that the case?
Well, we haven't sent people to the moon in over 50 years. Apollo 17 in December 1972 was the last time the humans were on the moon. And since then, a couple of unusual missions, we haven't gone much higher than the International Space Station, which is only 400 kilometers above the Earth. The moon is 400,000 kilometers. So we're going 1,000 times further. So it's a big deal, and not only that, but it's the start of what NASA said last week. There's going to be two landings on the moon every year till they build their moon base in 2033, because they're in a big race with the Chinese, who said they're going to land on the moon in four years' time, in 2030.
Is this really a battle between two global superpowers, or is it much more fundamental than that? Now, mind you, nothing perhaps is more fundamental than that, but in terms of space exploration, your own view of that?
Well, it's certainly a big piece of national pride for the Americans. I mean, they pride themselves on being number one in space. They got to the moon first. They have a huge space industry, but the Chinese are chomping on their heels at every avenue in terms of technology. And, you know, if you look at any of the electronic devices you've got, you're going to see made in China on them. You probably know how much Donald Trump is against everything being made elsewhere rather than back in the USA. So, you know, the moon landings made America great then in 1969 when they beat the Soviet Union to the moon. And now the Chinese, who have three astronauts in their own space station right now as we speak, orbiting the Earth, okay, the Americans, who are partners only in the International Space Station, or the biggest partner, they have seven astronauts in space right now. And the Chinese have been sending landers to the moon, so have the Americans, and the Chinese have said they are going to land on the moon in 2030, and nobody really doubts that. And certainly some senators like Ted Cruz in America are very keen that America doesn't lose its leadership in space. And Donald Trump's on board with that as well. He's just appointed a new NASA administrator, Jared Isaacman, a billionaire who's got space credentials. I watched him at a press conference last week, and he really has big plans to change NASA and the future of space exploration in the USA.
To what extent is this linked to getting to Mars? I know that when we spoke about this several years ago now, you were talking about Elon Musk before anyone really had heard about him and his plan to get to Mars by the end of the century. Will the moon become more or less a transition point on the way to Mars?
Yep, I watched 5 hours of NASA press conferences and briefings last week, and Mars is mentioned. Now, no dates have been put on any boots on Mars landings, but they do expect to land on the moon in 2028. This is Artemis 2 tomorrow night. There'll be Artemis 3, which, a bit like the Apollo era, tests the docking and undocking you need to do before you descend to the moon's surface. And then Artemis 4 in 2028, still in Donald Trump's term of office. He hopes to be able to talk to them on the moon, just like Richard Nixon did, the then president in 1969, when he spoke to Neil Armstrong, who, by the way, personally told me he was Irish. And so getting to Mars is the next step, they say. You know, you can practice on the moon. It's not that far away. Your radio signal is only taking just over a second to get there. On Mars, it's going to be minutes. You're not going to have a two-way conversation. At least you can do that on the moon. And then you can develop techniques like plowing up basically the lunar dust to make buildings, habitats for humans to live in. What kind of minerals and other resources can you extract from the moon? Hopefully water, which can be used as a fuel then to get to Mars. And the gravity on the moon is 1/6 that of the Earth. So it's much easier to launch a giant rocket to Mars from lunar soil if you've got the infrastructure. And this is what it's all about, building that infrastructure. So talking about communication satellites, like GPS and other relay satellites on the moon to support a moon base as a stepping stone to Mars.
So are we going to be seeing then extended lunar missions where they will be concerned about, as you say, communications, perhaps also life support? You mentioned a moment ago docking procedures. Obviously, a whole host of issues have to be addressed before there can be these extended stays on the moon en route to Mars.
Yeah, and this is Artemis 2. So we had Artemis 1 just over 3 years ago, which tested the new giant rocket. This rocket's taller than any building in Ireland, and that's just the rocket alone. It worked well. It went, there were a few delays, but it went around the moon safely, no crew on board, came back and, all importantly, splashed down safely in the ocean. So they're hopeful that there won't be any major problems with Artemis 2 taking four real people up tomorrow night. It'll take them 4 days to get there, 4 days back. So they're going to be 10 days away from the Earth in total. And then Artemis 3, 4, and as they've said, two landings on the moon every year after that until they get the moon base established. Then there'll be a permanent presence on the moon. So this is very different to what happened in the 1960s when JFK tasked NASA to land the first person on another world. This is about going to the moon and staying there. And this is, therefore, is the future of the human race. I mean, it all is a bit Buck Rogers today, but who doesn't believe long-term, be it decades, centuries or millennia, that the future of the human race is in space? Certainly Jeff Bezos thinks that. When he was a kid at school, his speech at the end of his college days was all about setting up a space-faring nation. So it was Elon Musk. These are the world's two richest men with their own space companies who are literally putting their money where their mouth is, and they're the commercial side of it. And, of course, you've got NASA, the government side, the Chinese side as well. So there's all these factors coming to play that mean if you're a young person thinking of becoming an astronaut, your horizons are wide open because Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos have stood on stage publicly and said that they are going to put 1 million people on Mars by the end of this century. Now, nobody's been to Mars. Only 12 people have walked on the moon so far. That's a very bold statement. If it was anybody else, you'd think they were crazy. But now we see them building rockets like this, getting contracts from NASA. NASA's gung-ho behind it. Political administration is behind it. It's got a lot of cross-party support as well, so we don't see any of it being cancelled, and they certainly don't want to leave the moon, and therefore the rest of the universe, to the Chinese. So maybe you either say politics shouldn't be involved in it, but it's what spurred on the Apollo missions, and now it seems to be bringing the timeline forward for the exploration of the moon, which people like me just love.
And David, you mentioned there that there will be a crew of four for this mission, which blasts off tomorrow evening. How are these astronauts chosen? You know, getting the right mix of skills, personal attributes, the ability, I suppose, to work well under pressure. How does NASA go about deciding who the four will be? Because I'm sure there are many more than four who'd love to be on that particular mission.
Yeah, they have a tough job. There's never a shortage of applicants. Even here, Irish people, any young people listening in, maybe not so young people as well, were members of the European Space Agency. Since 1991, there have been calls for Irish people to become astronauts in ESA. You can get into NASA as well. Some people who have gotten Irish citizenship after they've been in space have been in space, but we've never sort of launched anyone from Irish soil up there. And the qualifications are relatively simple. A degree in science or a pilot's license, and they take it from there then. They'll do lots of tests on you to make sure you're physically capable, that you're smart enough to do the job up there, and if anything goes wrong, you know you're on your own. So you've almost got to be like the mechanic going along as well to fix anything. There's some science to be done. The four astronauts, the three Americans on this mission, one Canadian who had never been in space before, yet he's going around the moon. They're going to set the record for the furthest humans ever to travel away from the Earth, because they're actually going to go about 4,000 miles, 6,000, 7,000 kilometers beyond the moon, have a look at the dark side, reconnoiter sites that they're going to land Artemis 4 in 2 years' time, and then come back. So, you know, there's no shortage of people. I was one of them. 700 people applied in 1991 to be an ESA astronaut. Nobody from Ireland was selected in the end. But the selection calls, there have been several of them since then, and they'll be continuing. Europe wants to get involved in all this lunar exploration as well. So the future is extremely bright. So anyone studying at the moment, keep it up. And one day you could be an astronaut on the surface of the moon, maybe even Mars. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen, certainly in young people's lifetime, and hopefully before you and I shuffle off this mortal coil.
Well, indeed. This is Artemis 2, Artemis 3, and then Artemis 4. But is the likelihood then that after Artemis 4, there will be an attempt to have at least one surface landing per year in preparation for Mars, whenever that is likely to happen, that there's going to have to be regular missions to the moon in preparation?
Well, the administrator of NASA, the boss, Jared Isaacman, has said two manned, or humans, whatever the correct word is these days, landings on the moon every year. Now, they've been careful not to big up the Mars exploration, because they get to the moon first and set up a moon base on it. Going to Mars is it's the International Space Station to the moon 1,000 times further. And it's about 1,000 times further again to get to Mars. So these are giant leaps, to coin a phrase. And so, you know, they want to get through all the troubles, problems, issues. They're going to have fun solving these problems. And the one thing doing this for not just your national pride, is that you end up with so many experts, engineers, scientists, software people, solving big problems that wouldn't be presented to them otherwise, that these people go out into industry and invent everyday problems.
David is obviously gone. I'll tell you what we'll do. We will take a commercial break and we'll see if we can get David back on that line. I have no idea what happened there. Time now, 28 minutes to 6 o'clock. We'll take this unexpected break and back in hopefully 2 minutes. And you're welcome back to the programme. Apologies about that. Don't know what happened there, but David is back on the line. Just as in relation to the frequency of these explorations over the next number of years.
Yes, they've said that they're going to put two crews on the surface of the moon every year going forward into the 2030s to build the moon base and to establish a permanent presence in space. So as I said earlier, this is not like the Apollo missions, where it was really just a politically driven national pride to get to the moon. There was plenty of science being done, but at huge expense. 5% of NASA, of America's federal budget was being spent on the Apollo missions to beat the Russians, the Soviet Union, which they did eventually do. And then things calmed down, the public interest waned a bit, and you don't get 5% of the federal budget unless you're the most important show in town. They'd done what they needed to do, and it was 50-odd years later that we went back to the moon. Well, are planning to anyway. And by the way, if they don't launch April 1st, and that's no joke, it is April the 1st, very late Irish time, about 11:30 p.m., then they can launch over the next several days, and then they need another window at the end of April and into May. So there are plenty of chances to launch. They have had delays in the past, and we're hoping there won't be any this time around. But we're seeing the start of a whole new era in space exploration, at least as far as people are concerned.
And just in relation to that, finally, David, when you talk about people, is this also intended to assess or to examine human exploration capabilities? In other words, just how far can humans go? And I presume this probably is in preparation for those missions to Mars at the end of the century.
Yeah, I mean, it does throw up lots of interesting issues. the astronauts on the International Space Station, they have to exercise about 2 hours every day, pounding away at their bones to simulate the wear and tear they get on the Earth, or you lose certain bone mass, and they still lose bone mass. On the Moon, there's a sixth of the Earth's gravity, and on Mars, it's about a third of the Earth's gravity. So there are probably going to be issues like that as well, that you can't live there forever, or if you do, you might not be able to come back to the Earth. You'll have very brittle bones. So studying the effect on humans is part of the deal if you're an astronaut. You're a guinea pig for that. You're the caretaker for the craft that you're in, and you're a scientist performing experiments in space and on the Moon. So we've been covering all this in Astronomy On magazine for years, and you know, a lot of these issues have been overcome, but not fully. And there's a lot of fear about space radiation. There's a chance of a big display of the aurora, the Northern Lights, tonight, and this Artemis mission could launch in the middle of that. Now, it's not thought to be dangerous to them, but there are even bigger displays of Northern Lights that could actually affect human life when these huge bursts of radiation are sent out by the sun. We're shielded by the Earth's magnetic field if you're on the International Space Station, almost hugging the Earth's surface, but you're not when you're out in deep space, so you have to develop techniques to counteract that.
And I suppose many, many things could go wrong, but are they quite confident that this will be a successful mission? I think it's 4 days there and back.
Yes, it's so they launch tomorrow night. They spend about a day in Earth orbit checking out the systems. Then they fire the rockets again, and that shoots them off toward the Moon. You coast most of the way, and then the Moon's gravity catches you and swings you around and slingshots you back towards the Earth for another 4 days. So by the time you splash down, you've been off the Earth's surface for about 10 days in total. Similar at the time to what the Apollo astronauts did. A lot of it's controlled by gravity, and that hasn't changed in 50 years. And what NASA have said is, back when they did this in the 60s, you know, there were six landings on the Moon, two astronauts for each one, and they were all white males. So NASA has said this time it's redressing that balance by putting down in 2028 an Artemis 4, at least one person of color and one female moonwalker. And then I'm sure we'll see a lot of diversity in all the future missions as well.
Very good, David. Fascinating as always. Perhaps we'll be talking to you next week after Easter in relation to how successful or otherwise this particular mission is. Just in relation to Astronomy Ireland, anything coming up on that front?
Oh yeah, there's always loads of it. We have a monthly lecture. The next one's all about asteroids. You'll see that on our website, astronomy.ie. You can watch that from anywhere in the country. The magazine is out now telling people what to see. Two bright comets in the sky, potentially visible from Ireland. At least likely, but there'll be pictures from around the world that will really amaze people. There's classes coming up in June as well you can do from home. But the magazine tells you everything, what to see every month, and there's a weekly email as well. Costs about €1 a week to be a member of the world's most popular astronomy society. So just go to astronomy.ie, sign up, look at all the events there, and certainly follow us on social media. And by the way, while you're online, if you want to watch the mission tomorrow night, then NASA streams it all over the place. But probably the simplest one is just go to YouTube and look up NASA television, and you'll see the stream there and watch it. I'll certainly be tuned in just before 11:30 Irish time tomorrow night. They're due for launch. So astronomy.ie and YouTube.
David, as always, many thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this evening. That is David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. Now,